You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. A week ago today, the Metropolitan Police announced its intention to seek a court order to force the Guardian newspaper to reveal its confidential sources for some of its phone hacking coverage. Original reports suggested the application for a production order was being carried out under the Official Secrets Act, a decision which was quickly and widely condemned across the press and other media bodies. The police force later said that this was only in relation to possible offences committed by an officer from Operation Weeting, the team investigating phone hacking allegations. The order for the disclosure of sources from The Guardian was instead under the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, known as PACE. But the action never arrived at the Old Bailey. In an interview with the BBC, Deputy Assistant Commissioner Mark Simmons conceded that the use of the Official Secrets Act was inappropriate in this case, and that following legal advice, the force decided not to pursue their plans. So what does this all mean for journalists? What rights do journalists have to protect their sources? What would an order under the Official Secrets Act or PACE really have meant for news organisations? And what does this episode mean for the industry as a whole? In this podcast, we speak to media law and journalism rights experts to answer these questions. First, media law consultant David Banks gives his reaction upon hearing about the Met's original planned action.
I thought it was a fairly extraordinary move by the Met, really, given the sort of history of this this case and the way in which the Guardian had investigated this and really driven it back into the public agenda, really. And so I thought it was very odd for this action to be taken against the Guardian. I probably have to declare an interest here in that I occasionally contribute to the Guardian on their the Guardian Law website, so I just had to make that point. But nevertheless, I think it was a very, very strange thing for the Met to think of doing.
We asked David to explain the differences between the Official Secrets Act and PACE with regards to the disclosure of sources and what difference the police's use of each would have meant for journalists on the receiving end.
I thought I detected a hint of backtracking on the part of the Met and saying that no, it wasn't the Official Secrets Act, it was PACE. Both of those laws have disclosure powers, but obviously the use of something as severe as the Official Secrets Act had much greater implications. The difficulty being that if it was a PACE application, then the court has to weigh up the competing interests of the need for the police to obtain the information for their investigation against the public interest in a free press that is able to protect its sources. Now, it has to be said that the courts have not been, in PACE applications, the courts have not been particularly mindful or responsive to the media arguments of protection of sources. In most cases, they tend to give the order, ordering for disclosure. But there is at least that concept of a public interest in the press protecting sources. There is no such public interest defence in the Official Secrets Act. And what's more, this was an order, a production order. So therefore, it wouldn't have gone to any sort of trial. It would have been hearing before a judge, and the judge would have either granted the order or not. And then if the Guardian had resisted the order, it would have run the risk of being in contempt of court. So that initial information, which seems to suggest it was an Official Secrets Act action, was really very serious and quite a departure, really.
So what are the legal rights of journalists to protect sources, and what have past cases shown us about the ability of journalists to do so when legally challenged?
Well, I mean, you have rights under the Human Rights Act to protect your sources. It's part of your right to freedom of speech to protect your sources. But as is often the case in these matters, when it gets to the court, the court has to do a balancing act between the interests of freedom of speech and also the interests of the officers investigating the matter. And the European Court has been very useful in defending sources. Bill Goodwin and The Engineer, when he had sources within a company, eventually, after being defeated in the UK courts, eventually had his right to protected sources upheld by the European Court of Human Rights. So you know, there are the defences there, but sometimes it takes a lot of fighting to protect your sources. And we have had recent cases like the Sally Murrah case, where she was prosecuted for it was either conspiracy or aiding and abetting misconduct in public office. It was said that she had was getting leaked information from a police officer. That case collapsed against her. In the Bloody Sunday inquiry, a number of journalists were ordered to name the sources amongst soldiers who had given them details of the operations of the soldiers on the day of Bloody Sunday, and again they were threatened with contempt of court by the Bloody Sunday inquiry for refusing to reveal their sources. Eventually, that threat was dropped, but it was hanging over them for some considerable time. You know, a matter of years before the inquiry eventually dropped the threat. So, you know, you do have defences, you do have rights, but sometimes they take some courage on the part of journalists and news organisations in insisting that they're going to stick by their sources and not reveal them.
And of course, there are the potential implications for journalists and their reputations in the news industry to consider.
It's going to be time-consuming, consuming of resources, possibly expensive if you have to engage in sort of legal representation, which you almost certainly will do. And the potential is very damaging because if you are seen as a you know, if you're seen to give up source, if you're seen to give up contacts, then it makes you less likely to receive information in the future.
The advice for any journalist facing such action is to seek legal advice and support, he said.
It's mainly that you'd look, seek legal advice, really, if you get into a serious situation as having, you know, PACE requests made of you, Official Secrets Act made, orders made against you, and then you are in the realms of seeking legal advice. You know, the NUJ may be able to assist. The NUJ were I understand, helpful in the Sally Murrah case. You know, you do need some sort of backup in these situations.
Michelle Stanistreet, General Secretary of the National Union of Journalists, says they've helped a number of reporters in the past who've faced similar challenges for their source details. And journalists need to stand strong on the issue and defend their rights, she said.
Protecting your sources is crucial. This is the only way that members of the public, when they are faced with an instance that they genuinely think needs to be brought to light, they need to be able to trust in the journalists that they approach, that their confidentiality will be respected and that they will be protected as a source. So this is core to what being a journalist is all about, protecting those people who come to rely on you in terms of getting a story out in the public interest. So standing firm on that key principle is crucial for any journalist.
She added that no matter what the story, the protection of sources should remain paramount.
I don't believe there are any shades of grey when it comes to this. Journalists must stand up and protect their sources, and in the main, journalists absolutely do that. A journalist's reputation and the integrity of the press in the UK is at risk if that doesn't happen, if suddenly criteria is introduced in order to say, well, some sources are more important than others. Protecting your sources is a basic journalistic principle.
Today, instead of the planned court order application being heard at the Old Bailey, the Met's Deputy Assistant Commissioner Mark Simmons is due to appear before the Home Affairs Committee to answer questions on how the decision to use the Official Secrets Act was taken and what has been done to prevent further leaks. But just like the court order application would have been, this session will take place in private, a decision which has also come in for some criticism.
I think it's outrageous that this hearing is happening in secret. I think you know, terrible things have happened in the last couple of weeks in terms of the Met's position on this issue and their attempt to use the Official Secrets Act in this way. They've backed off, thankfully, which is obviously very good news. But I think it's quite right that our MPs are asking them to explain themselves and to account for this decision. But that conversation should happen in public in the normal manner, and it shouldn't just be a selection of parliamentarians who get to know about their motivations for this decision and the reason why they've backed away from it. The general public should get to know. So I think it's very unfortunate that this is now happening in secret.
Finally, we spoke to news editor of the Index on Censorship, which also publicly criticised the Met's original plans, Padraig Reedy. He outlined what he felt MPs should be questioning the Met on today, even if it must be in private.
I think there is such a bad atmosphere around the police and the press at the moment, and indeed Parliament, that the more transparent people are on these things, the better. And I personally would like to know, and I'm sure lots of other people, not just in the media, but more broadly, would like to know, what was the thinking behind the Met's actions? What was the rationale, and why did they think they'd get away with this?
But an important point, he added, is that the action did not go ahead, and therefore ultimately journalists should not fear use of legislation such as the Official Secrets Act against them when they are just going about their normal reporting duties.
Certainly, I mean, for small news organisations, you would not be as confident in going ahead on these things. But I think the Crown Prosecution Service, you know, in its advice to the Met, I'm sure they probably told them quite stern terms to drop this. I think in their advice they have hopefully sent a message to reporters that, you know, they will not be pursued with such draconian legislation in future, that this is not a precedent and this is not acceptable.
You can catch up on the latest developments in the phone hacking scandal by clicking on the More On topic page on the journalism.co.uk homepage. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.